Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Julia Carville. Welcome to the John Carville Show. My dad has helped thousands of people around the world lead happier and more successful lives. Whether you're just beginning to lay your foundation or you already built your life, but now you need to shore up some weak spots, this show will help you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Today's text I'm calling, What We Have Is a Gift. What we have is a gift. I don't know about you, but over the years I have thought many times that my gift or my gifts aren't worth too much to other people. When in fact, many times, your gifts and my gifts are what people have been looking for a very long time. So when we devalue our gifts or think little of the talents that we've been handed over the years or developed or built, and we think little of what they're worth to other people, then that means then those gifts and talents can't bless other people in our lives. Oftentimes people get a big head. They get swelled up. They get egotistical when their gifts and talents are noticed by other people, when in fact many times those gifts were given, they were developed, you were prodded up, for the lack of a better term, by other people who saw you struggling over so many years. I think it was Johnny Depp who said one time that the actor Johnny Depp, who's played a variety of roles, he said something to the effect of, when you get famous, then people will say, well, I knew him. When before he got famous, you know, they didn't even know your last name. And oftentimes we kind of fail to realize that our life is a journey and we should be consistently building upon the gifts and talents that we have. Robert Schuller told a story a long time ago about a banker who always tossed a coin in the cup of a legless beggar who sat on the street outside this bank. But unlike most people, the story says, the banker would always insist on getting one of the pencils the man had beside him. You're a merchant, the banker would say, and I always expect to receive good value from merchants I do business with. One day, the legless man was not on the sidewalk, and time passed by, and the banker forgot about him until he walked into a public building, and there in the concession stand sat the former beggar. He was obviously the owner of his small business now, and I've always hoped you might come by someday, the man said. You are largely responsible for me being here. You kept telling me that I was a merchant, so I started to think of myself that way. Instead of a beggar receiving gifts, I started selling pencils, and lots of them, he said. You gave me respect and causing me to look at myself differently. See, that's just an example. That if we reframe maybe the gifts and the talents that you and I have in our lives, then oftentimes there's a possibility, just a possibility, that things could go differently for you. Over in Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10 says this, verse 24. It says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Another paraphrase of that says in Hebrews 10:24. In response to all he has done for us, in response to all that God has done for us, let us, listen to this part, let us outdo each other in being helpful and kind to each other and in doing good. This week I've had an experience with, this recording is in the latter part of February 2016, for those who are going to watch this months down the road. And a friend of ours, who we were just introduced to, actually, a new friend, flew in from Chicago to be a translator for us for about a week. That is a gift. That is an example of a gift. I go back to Hebrews. In response to all God has done for us, Let us outdo each other in being helpful and kind to each other and in doing good. Sometimes we think that maybe doing good has to look a certain way, or it has to come in a certain form, or a certain angle, or a certain street, or a certain situation. But as long as we're doing good to other people, and there's a variety of scriptures that kind of illustrate that, how we're supposed to be doing good to other people in a variety of ways, I think God gets the reward out of it, because we know, at least I know, that our gifts should be funneled on to other people to make a difference in their lives. We've shared Luke chapter 1 a variety of times in the last several months. But it was a very interesting situation where in verse 38 of Luke 1, this is the story, again, I've shared it three or four times now, about Mary and Jesus and baby Jesus and Joseph. But one verse jumps out at me, and that's verse 38 in Luke chapter 1. Mary said, when the angel came to Mary and said, you know, Mary was a teenager at the time, the angel told this teenager that, you know, you've been highly favored, the King James Version of the Bible says, and you know, you're a great person, and you know, you're going to be pregnant without having sex. That's the English, that's the John Carver translation. She's like, how can this thing be? So we skip down to verse number 38. Mary said, that's not the King James Version, of course, you know, but in verse 38, it says, Mary said, I am the Lord's servant, for I am willing to do whatever he wants. May everything you said come true. And the angel disappeared. Again, I am the Lord's servant. So if you and I walk in that attitude that we are servants of God, that everything that we have, everything that we've been blessed with, all the intelligence and the skills that we've developed over the years because of the help of other people, by the way, because I don't know of anybody here or anybody that I know of that has gotten to the top or wherever they are by themselves. So other people have invested in you. Other people have invested in us. So shouldn't we do the same thing, just like Hebrews said, to do good works for the benefit of other people? Rick Warren said one time, he says, people are always more encouraged, listen, when we share how God's grace helped us in weakness than when we brag about our strengths. I'm finding it consistently, this is over a bunch of years, that people, generally speaking, are attracted to those who know that they're not all that and that they're still struggling, they're still striving, versus the people who think and act like they know it all. How many times haven't you been repelled by people who think that they know it all and they come across as know-it-alls versus people who know that they're still striving, they're still struggling, they're still trying to achieve the things that they need to achieve in their lives? So if we go back to verse 19 in Luke, it says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. In fact, another translation says, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. I think it's really a good idea for all of us, maybe every day, maybe at least every week, to go back and think about where we've come from. Because oftentimes in the middle of our stuff, we forget how far we've come and how far we've grown and how much we've overcome and you know, gone through these challenges in our lives, whatever form they take. And then we get discouraged when we think oftentimes we can't overcome what's going on right now in our lives because we forget what you've gone through already. And sometimes what you're going through right this second is nowhere near as hard as what you came through 5 years ago or 10 years ago. So often reminding yourself of what you've come through over the years is probably a good thing. Mary understood that her role as a recipient of this priceless gift, and oftentimes you and I, at least in my case, I can't speak for you, but sometimes at least, we receive gifts that we don't deserve. Amen. Have you ever received gifts and blessings that you don't deserve, that you could not have earned, that you haven't been that good of a person over the years to receive that kind of blessing? I call that my definition, John Carver's definition, I call that grace. That's called somebody giving you something or letting you stand on their shoulders when you don't deserve it because you've been a bad person, relatively speaking, or you've not done things exactly the right way all the time. Sometimes I've forgotten over the years gifts that have been given to family members of mine. Because I'm so used to seeing the person in a certain form, I forgot that the reason why they are in the certain form or have the attitude or walking in a certain way or living in a certain way is a result of not their efforts, but as a result of the sacrifices of so many other people over the years. And oftentimes we forget that the human beings that we are now are because of the sacrifices of people that have gone way before us. It could be a relative, it could be a parent, it could be an uncle, it could be coworkers, it could be school teachers. So when we realize that we are not it, we are not the ones who, you know, who think we're all that, that we're a conglomeration of other people's gifts and blessings and investments in us, then at least if you're smart, the ego won't get so big. Because you know that you're just a piece. Your part is just one piece of the puzzle of everybody else who's built into you the person or people that you are right now. I believe, this is again one of John's philosophies, but I believe that Satan's job is to forget about God's gifts in our lives. Because when we get so stuck up, when we get so busy, when we get so focused on what's not going right now in your life, that we forget about the gifts and the blessings that God's given us over the years. When your car breaks down, you forget that, you know, things happened in your life that made it possible for you to have the car. The car wouldn't have broken down if you didn't have the car. So there's so many things that you know, the water pump goes up, or you know, the water heater dies or leaks, or you know, you get a flat tire. Well, you know, again, it's how it's framed, isn't it? So if, you know, because you have a home is because you have a water heater that leaked. Well, if you didn't have the home, the water heater wouldn't have been able to leak because you could have been homeless. So again, if you reframe it in certain ways, it creates such a different point of view. I was having a conversation with Arena yesterday through a translator, who was Juliana and Christina's birth mom, and she was up at the hospital for most of the afternoon. And we were just talking about how, you know, we didn't plan certain things to happen. But as a result of certain things happening and other people investing and doing just a piece of the puzzle, she was sitting in a hospital room halfway around the world when things probably could. In fact, I found out just yesterday that, again, I'm chasing a rabbit here for a moment, forgive me. Again, this is recorded the end of February 2016. Juliana's in the hospital. Her birth mother flew in to do the bone marrow transplant, to put in context. But I found out that Belarus, this is the very first time in history that the government of Belarus opened up an adoption file for an American family. It's never happened before for us to find her and her to fly here. Again, this stuff in the scheme of humanity, stuff that happens in your life, in the scheme of humanity, doesn't happen unless other people are part of the puzzle. So for you and I not to allow ourselves to be a part of other people's puzzle, we're in essence, because of our selfishness or our fear or our intimidation or worried about what it might look like, are really impacting other people on the planet in a very negative way. So imagine if all of us did our part, whatever form that takes, consistently every day, we're building pieces of a puzzle in people's lives that then they can grow, that they can realize things that they never thought possible because you chose to do your part. You chose to put your piece of the puzzle consistently on the table for other people to leverage and to grow in order for them to do things that they wanted to do. So really, if you stop and think about it, the very essence of sin is being self-centered. Because oftentimes you and I want what we want at all costs. You and I have done it many times. We have done what we wanted to do because we wanted to do it. There's nobody in the room that hasn't done that before. So our appetites, in quotes, our cravings, many times, really hinder us from appreciating the gifts and the talents and the blessings that God has given us right now because we want more. That's like a man thing. I can't speak for a woman because I'm not a woman. I don't want to be a woman. I've never pretended to be a woman. I don't understand women, more or less. But guys always want more, don't we? I mean, we want the bigger car, with the nicer car. I mean, we're going down to church today. I know it's old, but the Jaguar XJ6 is driving like to my right, and I'm purposely slowing down so I can drool a little bit, you know, before I passed it. But, you know, I was just like, yeah. But again, we always want more. We want the bigger house, you know. We want the more money. We want the nicer this, and that's just us. That's how I'm wired. I can't speak for anybody, any other man, but I just want more. That can be a struggle for me. In fact, it is a struggle for me because I purposely stay away from certain places because it encourages me to drool, and drooling is probably not a good thing on a parking lot. So I, you know, steer clear of certain places because I know that it creates the attitude that I shouldn't have. So how about you? Are there places that you shouldn't be, things you shouldn't be doing because it increases the attitude of being ungrateful in your own life? I don't know about you. Andy Stanley said this. He says that that God planted a seed in me. This is Andy Stanley talking. When he said that so oftentimes that Satan creates internal tension. You know, we go back to the very beginning of the scriptures, where God created all this stuff, you know, all these great things for humanity. So he creates Adam. And then there was a situation where, you know, God didn't want Adam to be alone, so he created a female, a woe man, as somebody said one time. And that internal tension, that dialogue, that conversation that Eve was having that she shouldn't have had, hear me, created a disruption in God's plan. So oftentimes, at least for me, I can't speak for you, oftentimes, we shouldn't be having certain conversations. We shouldn't be around certain people that create environments, attitudes, in my case, tempers, anger, that I don't need to be around. So I have to constantly, this is a daily thing with me, that I have to constantly remind myself that some people don't know that they don't know. I've shared this before. Some people don't know that they don't know. I know that they don't know. But until they know that they don't know, why am I allowing myself to become enraged over people that don't know that they don't know? It's like I'm blue-green colorblind. So if you showed me a photograph of these dots that they do in the colorblind test, and I look at it and you see the number 31 in that circle, I'm staring, I'm looking at it from this angle, and I'm looking at it from this angle, I'm looking over top of it, I'm trying to get another, because to you, it's like yellow on top of blue. You can see it clearly. I can't see it. So you're yelling at me and screaming at me, well, I can't see what I can't see, hear me. I can't see what I can't see. So for you and I to consistently surround ourselves with people who don't know that they don't know, which then takes us off track of where we're supposed to be going in life, then whose fault is that? It's our fault. Yes, we should encourage people to know that they don't know, and then they're able to grow. That's a whole new sermon. But for us to get frustrated and irritated and all these other negative emotions that come up, because we, again, place ourselves in situations in people's lives that, frankly, sometimes we don't need to be around. Andy Stanley goes on to say, we want respect and recognition for what we've accomplished. Men want to win. No matter how many times you win, guess what? You want more. More. You want to grow. You want to be more famous. And then he goes on to say that God created our desires and sin distorted them. Sin distorts our desires because sometimes we just want, all right, guys just want more. And then when we want more and get more, then oftentimes, at least I can only speak for some guys, that doesn't even satisfy because you want more. You want to keep going for the bigger yacht and sailboat or whatever dream or goal that you're trying to get to. There's a scripture that says the eye is never satisfied. You always want more. First to Timothy, Paul was trying to get through to this guy named Tim. In the New Testament, 1 Timothy 6:6, he said that, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So if you don't have godliness, how can you be contented? That's hard. It's very difficult to be contented without godliness. Again, because in life, we're never satisfied. Over in Genesis chapter 25, if you want to turn over to Genesis 25, it's a very interesting story about Jacob and Esau. Now, Jacob and Esau were brothers, and they were as opposite as night and day. I mean, Jacob was the... I'll use nice terms, the softer side of the two. Esau was, you know, the type A personality, and he was out there hunting and doing all the things in the wild that some men would grunt when they heard the story. Well, Esau was out all day, all night, and he was hungry. And long story short, in that culture, the oldest son would get twice the inheritance of the father when the father passed away. Now, at this time, the father was on his deathbed. He had one foot in the grave and one foot on a banana peel. So he was getting close to the end, okay? So Jacob knew that when something happened to dad, Esau gets twice as much, and you know, he was not having any of that. So he had this wonderful idea. So Esau comes in, he's starving. He said, give me your food. Give me some food. I'm going to starve to death, some pottage. And Jacob said, no, unless you sign over rights to your inheritance. So I get your inheritance instead of me getting my inheritance. So Esau was so hungry, he devalued, he thought less of what he had and chose to then, in essence, sign over rights to his inheritance. And oftentimes, I think that you and I, over the simplest things, we sign over to our desires. Our desires, by the way, that come and go, that are temporary, like I shared a week or two ago. Our feelings are up and down, up and down, up and down, right? They come and go. So we trade the permanent for something that's temporary. How many times haven't we done stupid stuff like that, where we signed off on temporary stuff, that stuff that we should have not done certain things, and then that all evolved into other situations? There have been times when we've thought a little bit about our reputation. I can remember many times when I've, at the moment, in the heat of the time, I wasn't focused on how my actions were going to impact my life. I've done that more times than I'll ever tell you. Because at the moment, I was only focusing on what I was doing right then and there. Every now and again, we're offered that same stew, that same pottage that Esau was offered by Jacob. And we have to look at that and realize that what we're going through right now, it's temporary. So are we going to sell out on what that pottage is or that stew for a temporary need that isn't going to be there tomorrow? So what are you going to do when that happens to you? Are you going to walk away or are you going to embrace it? Now, our brain lies to us all the time. I know your brain's lied to you more times than not. And it really enlarges the thing or the person that's the stew in your life, because oftentimes the things that you really want look better and sweeter and more attractive than what they really are. I mean, haven't you gotten stuff that you've craved or wanted, or you paid more money than you should have? I've paid more money than I should have at times over stuff. Maybe it was a car, maybe it was a piece of clothing, maybe it was a meal. I know this week I've eaten more stuff I shouldn't be eating because of travel and all this stuff, because I was hungry at the moment for the stew, so I decided to sell out on my good health as a result of the temporary hunger, instead of driving an extra 20 minutes and eating the salad that I should be eating instead of Royal Farms fried chicken. Thank you very much. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you feel my pain? So Esau didn't value his gift. Listen to this. I believe many times the gift giver or the gift givers value the gift, listen, more many times than the receiver appreciates the gift. I'll say it again, I think. Oftentimes, the gift giver honors, respects, values the gift more than the receiver. Have you ever gotten one of those sweaters from Aunt Roberta or Uncle Bobby or whatever the gift came from? It was this ugly sweater that you wouldn't wear in your bathroom, but you, thank you, Uncle Bobby, thank you, Aunt Roberta. Because, you know, because to them, oh, that you know, cost them a lot of money, or that was handed down from Sister Sue's cousin's brother's father, that they didn't want it to go to waste, so they repurposed it, they re-gifted it to you. To them, it was a big deal, but to you, it's like, okay, thank you very much. But oftentimes, we have that same situation. Listen, oftentimes, we forget about the sacrifice of the gift from the person who gave the gift to you. Let me share another example with you. Since we built our house in such and such a year, I can't remember now, 2006, I think, we haven't been able to have high-speed internet because we live in the woods, and we've been our internet has come from a dish or dishes over the years. So we're capped at 10 to 12 gigs per month. Now you know that one movie, if you watched a movie online, would exceed 10 to 12 gigs easily. So long story short, some people that we know who know people contacted who work for Comcast, and we can see a house that has Comcast internet from our driveway. So it's not like, you know, we live 300 miles away from the nearest pole that could run us a line to have high-speed internet. So this guy, he made some calls and did some magic, and within 2 days' time, 3 days' time, we had a phone call coming in. So going, instead of them, they were going to charge us a few years ago about $5,600 to run a line that's a block away to our house. Yeah, right, not on my budget. And then we called again roughly a month or two ago, and it dropped to like $2,300. Like, yeah, right, not on my budget. Not because it's like me building a bridge, and I have to pay for it, but you're going to drive your car over the bridge. That's how I see it. It's like, no. So the people that we have met in the last months or so, long story short, Comcast has now, they're starting to run the lines to our house. The utility guys were there the other day, and they're putting flags in the ground. So by this coming Friday, longer story short, we're going to have the trenches dug and the lines run that within the next week and a half or two, we will have high-speed internet. Again, the gift to us is a huge deal. To the executives that made that judgment call to run the line to the Carver house, It's probably happened more than a few times. To them, it's just a thing on a signature on a form or an okay in an email. But to us, listen, it's everything. It's the ability to do things that we can't do and haven't been able to do since 2006. So I'll repeat multiple times. The receiver of the gift, sometimes in this case, like I said before, it's not as big as the giver's gift. Well, sometimes it's reversed. The one who gives the gift, it's not a big deal. But the one who receives the gift, it's everything. Amen. And I could share continuous examples about that. What is your bowl of stew or pottage, like the Esau story, that you've been thinking about trading for your gift? What area in your life have you been thinking about compromising in order to get things that maybe you shouldn't be having right now? I've shared the story before. We were in Florida on a trip. I can't remember the details behind it. We were offered a timeshare. We were, you know, they gave us gift certificates to something. I can't remember what. You go to this meeting and they'll just, you know, it's a great gift cards or whatever it was, or we could go somewhere, Busch Gardens. I don't know what it was. So as long as you just sit in this pitch, well, man, they had me sold hook, line, and sinker. I was ready to sign on the dotted line for this timeshare. I'm the emotional one, if you haven't noticed, in our marriage. This is many years ago. It was way before kids came around. So Tammy's sitting there, arms folded, knowing that she was being sold, in quotes. I'm like salivating. Man, we could come to Florida many times a year. And she knew that we couldn't even get out of the state most months, you know, let alone down to Florida. But to me, I didn't think that far ahead past my nose. This was a great deal. We could have a resort. We would pay installments on it. It would be a stretch, but we could... No. So the sales pitch was done, and I'm like, what's that? No. I'm like, what? If you know Tammy, you understand where I'm coming from. You can feel my pain. So I'm like, all ready to go. The pen was literally in my hand, ready to go. No. We walked out of that place in the heart of Florida without a deal done. Now, looking back, thank you, Jesus, that I didn't sign on that dotted line, because I would have been paying payments on that place and I would not have been enjoying the benefits thereof. So oftentimes we tend to have our emotions all... Listen, we allow other people to get our emotions all out of whack, to get us to do things that we ought not be doing in the first place. And then we forfeit the stuff that we already have or could be having or should have as a result of, now we can't afford to do this because we did this. I'm sure that's never happened to anybody there. Over in Daniel chapter 2, there's a long story, there's a big story in Daniel chapter 2 about how the king was really trying to get a dream he had understood, and none of his employees or servants could really help him understand what that was. So over in Daniel chapter 2, verse number 46, it says, then King Nebuchadnezzar, now this, by the way, happened in like the Iraq area thousands of years ago. Again, Daniel 2, verse 46, says, then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and did homage to Daniel and gave orders to present to him an offering and fragrant incense. The king answered Daniel and said, surely your God is a God of gods. And now, mind you, in that culture they had many gods, and a Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, since you have been able to reveal this mystery. So there's a backstory to that, obviously. And the backstory is that Daniel was able to tell what his dream meant. So then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. Now, you and I have to understand that the gifts that we've been handed to us, I've probably said this more times than I should, have been we've been the recipient of gifts that maybe we don't deserve. And for us to hoard those gifts and not leverage those gifts for other people, which, by the way, then can transform their lives in ways that we can't imagine. That's where faith steps in, isn't it? Because you can't see the purpose of the gift or the gifts or the talents or the perks that you have in your life, how it can impact the lives of other people. And again, there's so many stories I got going in my head. I'm not going to chase them all. But there are countless stories of people who have gone through stuff, didn't understand why they were going through stuff, and they realized as a result of going through stuff, they chose to leverage the stuff to help other people that are still going through a different kind of stuff, if that making any sense with anybody at all. In chapter 3 and chapter 4 in Daniel, then we see a situation where the whole chapter, the whole book of Daniel is like up and down and up and down. This happening, that happened. Well, there came a time when these three guys decided that they're not going to bow down to the small g god that the king had set up. And in that culture, they said, if you don't bow down, then you're gonna die. You're gonna be executed in a very horrific way. Well, these guys chose not to bow before the god, the small g god. And God protected them in the middle of their, let's just say, heated moment, pun intended. Okay? So over in chapter 3, verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar responded, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which is the three guys that were challenged not to bow down to this small g god. So the bigger story to me is when you and I stand our ground for doing right, in the middle of the temptation to do wrong, it doesn't only impact us. It impacts more people than, frankly, you and I can even imagine. Your journey, hear me, your journey impacts more than you and your household and your family. And I can tell you firsthand that that's the truth. Again, back to chapter 3, verse 28. It says, blessed be the God, or beyond that, it says, blessed be the God who sent his angel and delivered his servants. This is Daniel 3 talking, and who put their trust in him, violating the king's command, and yielded up their bodies, not so much as to serve or worship any god, except their own god. So again, the king was impacted. So when the king was impacted, his kingdom was impacted. His people were impacted. So to me, again, maybe I'm reading too much into the story, but when you and I stand our ground, then not only are families impacted, but the families of people that we know are impacted. So again, compromise, hear me, compromise impacts more than just you. Compromise impacts more than just your own situation or your, you know, Royal Farms fried chicken, in my silly example. It goes beyond what you're dealing with, because all of us make waves in some form. They could be small waves, they could be larger waves, but we're always making waves. Doesn't make any sense to anybody at all. So this story of Daniel, he realized that over time, it took him a little bit of time, but he said toward the end, he said, the king reflected and said, is this not Babylon the Great, which I myself have built as a royal residence by the might of my power for the glory of my majesty? So he, many times we forget where we came from. That's the part I hope you, and I've told you this many, many years, if you see at any time I'm getting here, pop my balloon, please. Remind me, please. Don't even do it gently. Just pick me up and slam me down, because I have to remember, frankly, that I don't want to be like Nebuchadnezzar. Because we see what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. He got all arrogant, and then some nasty stuff happened to him until he realized who made his coffee, who buttered his bread. So the king forgot, listen, that what he had was a gift. The king forgot what he had was a gift. So oftentimes, you and I, when we become full of pride and forget about the gifts that we've had, we confine our what we see to what we see versus what we know or other people, how it's going to impact other folks. So like Nebuchadnezzar, he looked over his kingdom and said, look what I've done. Look what I've created. But if it wasn't for God in his life, things would have turned out much, much different. Oftentimes we are people that, maybe not we, but many times we misjudge our greatness. We forget, you know, how important we can be to other people, because we look in the mirror and see that we're not all that, at least in our own opinion at times. Some people, they have the extreme. Look at me, I'm all that. You know, it sounds probably corny, I shouldn't even say it, but the former WWF wrestler, Ric Flair, if you followed that at any time in your life, his I don't know what you want to call it, his character was very flamboyant, and he come woo come out, you know, with all the woo going on, right? You know, that was his thing, and Hulk Hogan, he came out with his thing. And oftentimes that you and I look at these people and think, they look so foolish, they look so stupid, man, I hope they're not that way on the street. You know, I was like, I can't imagine doing that. Well, then we look at our own lives and the stuff that we've done over the years, and we kind of look back and, oh my gosh, I can't believe I was a Ric Flair or Hulk Hogan or that arrogant, and I put on that character that was so ugly at the moment. How many, don't raise your hand, but I think we've all been there before, yes? So then, if you skip down to the end of the story, Nebuchadnezzar smelled the coffee, he realized, I really messed up. He says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt the King of heaven, for all his works are true in his ways, and, quote, he is able to humble those who walk in pride. This is the king, Nebuchadnezzar, saying, God is able to humble those who walk in pride. So yes, I'm still talking about gifts. Because when you think that you're the owner of your gift, that you didn't buy, you didn't sacrifice for. It was a gift. Somebody implanted that gift to you. It's a big difference than you buying it, than you earning it. It's a completely different attitude. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about you've been given something that you didn't earn. And even if you earned it, there were other people involved in you getting to the place where you are, where you were able to earn it. So again, no matter what form, no matter what frame you look through, everything's a gift, isn't it? Everything you do, everything you have is a gift. There's a story that was written when I was about 3 years old or so. A group of people were preparing to have a hurricane party in the face of a storm, and they were, but they weren't ignorant of what was happening. But they were probably being foolish and overconfident, and did they let their egos get in the way? They were just going to have a party no matter what the storm. So what we do know is that the wind came and the storm came, and the police were called, and they were telling everybody to get out of town because this storm was going to do some serious damage. So they didn't. So the guy who owned the place, he said, "Get off my land. Just leave us alone. We're going to have a good time." Well, long story short, the waves reached about 22 feet high, and they were all washed out to sea because they chose not to listen and to pay attention. So the point of the longer point of the story is sometimes our warnings are gifts. Our warnings are gifts. The people who know what's coming are warning us. And for us not to embrace that as a gift, and maybe sometimes, I know I did when I was younger, I got frustrated with the warnings because I thought the warnings were coming from people that were just a few nuggets short of a happy meal. Who they were old fogies, and they didn't know what they were talking about. But they've been breathing oxygen a lot more than I was at the time. And they've stumbled and they've fallen on their face and tripped over their own feet and been in the wrong places at the wrong time. I didn't pay attention to that. And I got myself in quite a bit of trouble over the years. So the warning, our warnings are gifts. If we look at them as gifts. Over in John chapter 13. John chapter 13 is a great story about what gifts are all about. In the first verse of John chapter 13, it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come and he would depart out of this world to heaven, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them even to the end." So in verse 2, it says, "During supper," I'm in John chapter 13, "during supper," it said that "during supper, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands." Again, verse 3. "Jesus knowing that the Father had, that God, Jesus knowing that God had given all things into his hands and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper and," listen, "and laid aside his garments and then he put a towel around himself." So what God gave Jesus was a gift, and Jesus knew that what God gave him was a gift. Now the story continues here in verse number 5. "Then Jesus poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel with which he girded himself with." Now think about this a minute. Shouldn't that be a model for us? Shouldn't that be a frame for us to take the gifts that we have to be a blessing, to serve other people, is really what I'm trying to say, instead of hoarding the gifts for ourselves? So throughout Jesus' life, Jesus leveraged his gifts to be a blessing to other people. William Arthur Ward said, "Flatter me and I may not believe you. Criticize me and I may not really like you. Ignore me, I might not forgive you. But encourage me, and I will not forget you." Again, I'm talking about leveraging the gifts and the talents that you've been given, that I've been given, to other people. Verse 12, another way that this text says, and it says, "After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, He said, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher. You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that's what I am." Verse 14. "And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet." Verse 15. "I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth." Listen, slaves are not greater than their masters, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Think about this. Verse 17. "Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." So this is not just some, you know, prophet or teacher saying these things. This is the Jesus Christ saying these things. That what we've been given should be, that we should use what we've been given in order to be a blessing to other people. Again, Jesus leveraged his power and his gifts to serve people. That's got to be a model that we need to follow consistently. If not, then we're not doing it correctly. Bart Leger writes, "At one time, J. Wilbur Chapman experienced a great sorrow and that nearly shook his faith. In addition, his finances were almost depleted just when it was necessary for him to take a long trip to the Western United States. One of the elders of his church, who was a wealthy banker, came to his home to offer a word of comfort and encouragement. As he left," the story said, "he slipped a piece of paper into the pastor's hand, and Chapman looked at it and was surprised to find there was a check made out to him and signed by his rich friend. But the figures to indicate the amount of the gift were missing. 'Did you really intend to give me a signed blank check?' he asked. 'Yes,' said the man. 'I didn't know how much you'd need, and I want to be sure you would have enough.' Later," Chapman commented, "while I never had to use that check, it gave me a secure feeling to know that thousands of dollars were literally at my disposal." So again, this is a model for you and I to have, that we should be willing to be a benefit to other people and, in essence, give people a signed check, if you will, a signed blank check to do the things that we need to be doing consistently. So there's story after story after story that you and I should maybe consider leveraging the gifts and talents that God's given us. So God's gifts, in closing, are all around us. God's gifts are all around us. So may we never forget to give thanks for the smallest gifts that aren't so small to the giver of the gift, right? Maybe we should not think little of the gifts that we've been given over the years. Be sensitive and be a gift giver every day. Because you and I, when you and I choose to be a gift giver every day, then we don't get blocked up with hoarding the gifts and the talents that you and I have. Because it, or those, or the gifts and talents that you have, could be life-saving to other people around you. That again, you think aren't all that, or you think that are just part of who you are, but your gifts and your talents could literally save other people's lives. So don't think little of them. I'm so fired up about my fourth book that came out. It's called Build Your Foundation, 68 Building Blocks for a Successful and Rewarding Life. I've compressed about 25 years of knowledge, experience, and learning from a lot of people to help you in your life. You can get a copy of it over at TremendousLifeBooks.com. Again, TremendousLifeBooks.com. Here's some more information about it. For the last 25 years, I've visited with thousands of people in their homes. Many of these people I've met with have no goals, no dreams, no ambitions, and no roadmap for their life. I've seen so many people sitting on their front porches watching life go by. In 2006, my wife and I started building our home with bedrooms for each of our six kids. I always made sure that the foundation of our home was solid. I didn't want to take any chances with the lives of my family. So it is with life. My book, Build Your Foundation, 68 Building Blocks of a Successful, Rewarding Life, is jammed full of ideas that can help you today. My book is a collection of ideas and
And Short Story is really designed to help you turn your life around and to help impact the people that you care about and that you love so much. Whether you're just beginning to lay your foundation or you've already built your life but need to shore up some weak spots, Build Your Foundation will help you fortify yourself for a lifetime of success and to give you the courage to go for your dreams in life. Don't miss out on what you can accomplish. You can scale any height and achieve any goal. This book will help you get there. I have a passion to help millions of people change their lives. This book is easy to read, has short chapters, and can help you right now and change your life today. I believe in you.
Thank you so much for listening to the John Carver Show. If you want more information about me, just simply go to my website, www.johnwcarver.com. Again, thanks so much for listening to the show today, and remember, I believe in you.
Thank you for listening to the John Carver Show. Please tune in again right here Monday through Friday for more insights and opinions on how you can reach your goals and dreams in life.